You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Hey, friends. It's wonderful, wonderful to have you here today. Welcome. I want to welcome you if maybe you're here visiting because someone you know was baptized. And what an honor it is to have you here, and what an honor it is to share in these stories. All weekend, every service, we've been just celebrating stories and life, and it's hard to encapsulate a whole story in just a few seconds of a video, but you get the idea of the journey that we've all been on and how Jesus comes alongside of us, and he never leaves us alone. He never leaves us the same way. He always makes us better. What a good God we have, Jesus Christ. So wonderful. So wonderful. Well, we've been looking in this series on relationships, and it's important because all relationships are messy, right? Yes, even yours. All relationships are messy sometimes. We said in week one that when you study the creation in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, as God spoke everything from mountains to birds to giraffes to stars, and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And he created Adam, and that was good. But then he said, it's not good for him to be alone. And this idea of community began there. And he gave him Eve. And today, specifically, I want to talk about the marriage relationship. I know a few weeks ago, we had an expert here, Joe Beam. What an unbelievable job he did. And love Joe. But I have marriage on my mind. We've had a wedding this Friday, our son, our middle son, and his new wife got married here at the church, and how cool is that? That's our second one this year, by the way, if you're counting. Not for him, but this guy. My oldest son, Riley, and his wife, Michelle, who you met earlier singing. She's one of the leaders at Hillsong, and Australia. And so, Michelle, great job. Wonderful to have you with us today. And my wife is glad you brought your husband. So we had weddings. I was able to officiate both of those weddings, and very, very emotional, very hard to do, very powerful. And but fortunately, we didn't have any blunders. But the team thought it might be good just maybe to loosen it up. But I don't know if this happened in your wedding or not, where some knucklehead stepped on the veil, or maybe there was a crying. Nothing is greater than at a wedding when someone's screaming. Or this incident, oh no, she should run. That's just not right. And it even happens to the royals. I mean, zoom in and get a load of this. She's had enough. She's had enough. What do you could care less? Weddings and marriages. I mean, there's nothing better when it works right. I mean, to truly have a helpmate, to be together with your best friend forever. When marriages work, it's a beautiful thing to behold, and you understand at creation the reason why God made us the way he did. It was his plan. It was his idea. He gave Adam Eve. He gave Eve Adam. And there's this harmony that happens according to God's plan that is beautiful when it works right. And let me tell you, and you know it to be true, when it doesn't work right, it's almost as equally as stinging and bitter and hard. And some of you have known that pain, and some of you are familiar with some scar tissue because of those relationship that didn't work. And I love the title of today's talk, and it's for everybody. And it's this: from this day forward. And so whatever things that have happened, we're not looking behind us, we're not looking back, we're going from this day forward. You know, it's in many wedding vows, they say, to have and to hold from this day forward till death do us part. And can I just let you in on a secret? Whether you agree with the title or not, you have no choice. We're all living from this day forward. You can't go backwards. So we might as well reconcile this and just say we're going forward. And I wanted to use that as a title because I want to just instill some hope and big spiritedness to you that regardless of where you've been and regardless of what challenges you faced that's been behind you, and I know some of it's been real and some of you are in the middle of it right now, but I believe that we serve a God who's a from this day forward kind of a God, a God who's able to wipe the slate clean, give you a fresh start from this day forward. That's what he does. That's what we celebrate. And I want to start with a question. And I'm not being a smart aleck. I really want to ask the question, are great marriages possible? Are they really possible? And it's easy to just say, well, yeah, sure they are. Well, statistics would say half of them fail, Christian or non-Christian. Imagine boarding an airplane, you're going to St. Louis, and the pilot says, here we go, we're gonna reach an altitude of 30,000 feet. There's a 50-50 chance that we're gonna crash and you're all gonna die though. You boarding that plane? No, you're getting off. You say, like, I'll walk. I wouldn't board a plane with those kinds of odds. And it's hard, especially for our younger generation. A lot of millennials are growing up and they've seen not always the best example of a healthy home and great marriages. And so they're saying, well, I'm gonna try something different. We're gonna live together for a while. We're gonna just kind of rewrite our own script and do whatever we want because that didn't work. And I hope that today, especially if you're single, or maybe you're newly single, that you'd understand that from this day forward, the possibilities are great for you because the Bible makes it very clear that our God, his mercies are new, what? Every morning, every morning, every morning, every day, his mercies are new. Marriages aren't meant to be disposable. Marriages aren't meant to just be cast aside. And I realize some of you, again, maybe have situations that are very intense right now. And I would also say that we counsel that if there is abuse or there's been just unfaithfulness and a ton of patterns of pain, sometimes separation is the only answer to get forward until that person decides they want to be faithful. They want to be loyal. They want to honor. So not really dealing with that issue, but I want to get that out there in case you're in that situation. But most of us where we live, that's not really what we're going through. And really, as I was working on this week, one of the big things that I just felt are for those of you that maybe you've been married for a while, things are good. You're just good. Everything's fine. Yeah, as somebody, how's your, oh, we're good. It's you that I'm talking to largely today. Because from this day forward, God even wants you to go up and to the right. He wants it to be better than ever. He doesn't want, well, the honeymoon sure was good. Kind of been down since then. My kids, they're off on their honeymoon. And I told them, now listen, honeymoon. Sweet month is what it means. Honey is sweet. Moon, talking about the lunar schedule, got 29 days. Sweet 29 days. That's your honeymoon. But when you get back here, you got to get to work to make this thing work. Smiles. Those of you who've been married for a while, you're like, isn't that the truth? Well, Jesus had some words to talk about this. And just look at it. Look at what he says. Some Pharisees came one time to test him. And they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason, just no-fault divorce, is the question. Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and notice the language here, and be united with his wife, and the two will become what? One flesh. So they're no longer two, but they're one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And maybe one of the best ways of thinking about this is just imagine taking two pieces of paper and coating one of them in glue and then taking them and just sealing them and putting them together and come back a month later. Are those two pieces of paper still two pieces of paper? No, the two have become one. There is this unity. He said, let no one separate. And if you try to separate, it's hard to unone what has been made and joined together as one. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard. He said, let no one tear it apart. Let no one separate it. And my prayer is that regardless of where you've been, from this day forward, if need be, you can be healed, you can be freed. But we also come and we see that the whole point of this passage is that there is this solid bond in marriage. It's solid. And what I hope for us to see today is that marriage, it is a covenant, not a contract. I'm gonna use these two words, and maybe you're unfamiliar with them, but I hope the Lord uses them to set our minds free on some things. Because some people, they think of marriage more as a contract instead of a covenant. You know, a contract, that's more our language in today. If you get a mortgage or you buy something and they sign a, you have to sign your name a bunch of times. There's this contract that you've got to sign. A contract's based on the ideas of protecting something against failure, isn't it? Protecting something against failure. And that's just not the view of what a biblical covenant is all about. And many have brought this same contractual mindset into a marriage, and thus it's made marriage disposable, optional. And so what does a covenant mean? This language, it's not words that we use very much, but it has a lot of depth and a lot of meaning throughout Scripture. But one of its classic understandings, the word covenant, is to cut. There's blood. It's solid. And you've seen examples perhaps in some movies where they're making a deal and there's a covenant or marriage or something and they cut themselves and then they join those hands together and maybe somebody comes and tie those together. We're making a bond here. It's strong. In the Old Testament, there's this image of cutting a bull in half and separating the sides and then the two making the agreement walk together through the middle. And what they're saying is, may the same thing happen to us if we break this covenant. To cut. Blood involved. It's a strong image. And by the way, Jesus, notice his language, Last Supper, in the same way he took the cup, saying, this cup is what? A new covenant. In my blood, which is poured out for you. And we know what he's talking about here. He's talking about going to the cross, literally in just hours after he did this. He's saying, I'm about to demonstrate my love for you in such a powerful, powerful way. It's the ultimate covenant relationship that we can get. And by the way, when Jesus did this and he was thinking of you, you hadn't even decided if you'd believe it or if you'd receive it yet. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we hadn't even decided, the image is clear that he's saying, while you're nailing my hands to that cross, and I'm doing this for you, I'm forgiving you for nailing my hands to this cross. Amen. That's the power of what Jesus is doing. And the truth is, when you understand that, you understand how much God loves you and you receive that mercy, it gives you the capacity to extend mercy to other people. 1 John says it this way, that we love because he first loved us. Are you with me today? Amen. So true. All right, let's look at some truth statements here. Covenant, first of all, a covenant is based upon a mutual commitment. It's a commitment. There's depth. Whereas a contract, it's built on distrust. I don't think you're going to go through. I got to protect myself, so there's a contract. You see it even with prenups. I'm going to marry you, but you sign on the line, please. I got to protect myself first. Commitment means, no. I am willing, if need be, to be unhappy for a while even while we work some things out. I literally came across a modern marriage vow recently that said, I promise to be faithful to you so long as I love you. Can I just tell you, if you're engaged and you're looking at wedding vows, don't use that one. I promise to be faithful so long as I, how's that going to work? That's a contract type statement. Another statement would be a covenant, it surrenders rights and it assumes responsibility. It takes responsibility up, whereas a contract, it protects my rights and it avoids responsibility. It just covers me. And we live in a world that is entitled, and there's this entitlement mentality that just suggests I have to be happy. And it's everything is about my happiness. And you'll have no trouble finding some friends and just, they'll be the friends going, all that matters is that you're happy. If you're happy, then just whatever. Just do it. Because really all that matters is your happiness. Happiness is a fleeting thing if you're looking at it. It's completely different than a deep-seated joy, by the way. A covenant understands, no, we're shooting our roots down much deeper than that. Whereas a contract, it's just superficial. Here's another statement. A covenant has the interest of others in mind. Whereas a contract, no, it's got personal convenience. It's all just all about me. It's all about I want. No. A covenant says, I pledge myself. I am charged to pledge myself to Terry for the rest of our lives. A contract's the idea of, I'll stay in it so long as it's good for me. So long as I get something out. Listen, marriage is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. They're not perfect. I mean, Terry is, but the rest, no one else is perfect. Stick to the notes. I love what it says in Malachi. Listen to this charge. And again, I'm speaking to those of you that would be sitting there thinking, some people probably need this. Sir, ma'am, would you be on your guard? Don't be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife says to the Lord, the God of Israel, and does violence to the one he should protect. We've got to guard. We got to protect. We have to occasionally re-up and rethink and rededicate ourselves to this. Love doesn't give a person what they deserve. It gives them what they need. It's about service. And I want to just lay out just three simple truths, remind you of some things you already know. Hopefully, they allow all of us to re-up and recommit. And then I'm going to pray a blessing on your home, on your marriage. And I believe God's going to do something powerful in our midst. Things that we won't even know about for many, many years to come is going to happen in this room in just a little bit. And so number one, I have to make the choice to love. It's a choice. Let me illustrate it with what Paul wrote. He said, and over all these virtues, I love the language, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect union. The language of putting on love, as if this coat's on the ground. I gotta put it on. You gotta make a decision. You see, this is hard for some people because they have a wrong perspective. Too many people think love is just a feeling. And there might be songs like that, but the truth is love has feelings, but it's much, much more than just a feeling. I'll illustrate it. Some of you would get this picture. When a mom or a dad is sitting bedside to a young child who's been sick and throwing up all night, and they're holding it a trash can, and they're wiping the child's head all night long, and they're not getting any sleep. It's not fun for them. It doesn't feel good for them, but love holds trash cans in the middle of the night. Are you with me? Or as I've seen many, many times around here, it's stunning to behold when you see a spouse walk with their loved one through sometimes years of sickness, caring for them, loving for them, taking total care for them, and they get nothing in return. And they honor that commitment. Now, how's that feel? Some would look at it, if you're honest, you'd say, man, that would just be so hard, but they found the simple truth. First of all, they made a covenant. Better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. And here's the powerful truth they've discovered. When you make the right choice, feelings follow. When you make the right choice, feelings follow. And if all you're doing is following your emotions, you're gonna make some bad choices. They made a covenant. And they decided we're going to walk this out. And there's just one of the most honorable and noble things I've ever seen as couples do this one for another many times in their life. It's powerful to behold. Why would they do that? Because they put on love. They wore it and they said, no. I'm putting this on. I make it a choice. I counsel with people occasionally. I don't really do it anymore. You'll find out why. But I was counseling with a guy one time and he's wanting to leave his wife. And I said, well, why are you wanting to leave your wife? And he said, well, I don't love her anymore. I said, well, love her. Put it on. Seemed pretty simple to me. Love her. You make a decision. You made a decision at some point to love her. Your silence doesn't discourage me at all, by the way. I'm right. I got no problem with it. No. Love holds a trash can. Love walks with people through the hardest of times. And when you choose to love and you put it on, you predetermine that when, not if, by the way, when there's conflict, when there's difficulties, when there's seasons of challenge, you predetermine that even though we may be mad at one another, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. You can actually fight. You can actually have conflict. There can be this sense of security, even though you're going through a rough period, without the threat of separation. Why? Because you removed divorce from the conversation. You have predetermined to put on love. It's amazing what that gets through. You're not waking up every day flipping a coin. I don't know. Should I? No. I've decided. I've put on. Terry, you're not getting rid of me. Till death do us part. She's stuck with me. There's a beauty that comes into the relationship when they know that. And for some, in our generation especially, this is at times optional. Well, I'll do that so long as it feels right. Be careful. Feelings lie. Feelings come and go. Sometimes I want cheesecake at 2 a.m. Feels right. Probably not a good idea. Second, I just quit meddling and go to the second one. We have to prioritize our relationship. Not only do we choose to put on love, but follow me here. We got to prioritize it. There's a principle in Scripture. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 6. Let me just make the principle. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And he's establishing his rule and reign on earth. And he says, you got to get the priorities right. You got to seek first. And over and over again, we understand this, don't we? I mean, that's why you're here on a Sunday. You're starting off your week. You're seeking him first. Many of you have found it's healthy to start your day with your thoughts and your mind and and the word of God. You're starting the first part of the day. When you get your resources and you're blessed with income and things to give the first part back to God, many of you understand that's the secret. That's how you get blessed. Well, the same is true in your marriage. All too often when you're sitting and you're talking to somebody and they're going through a hard time in their marriage, you find out they're not prioritizing it anymore. Maybe one says, I don't know, you're always at work. I never know when you're coming home. You don't call. It's like your work's getting the best part of you and I get your leftovers. And the other one may say, I don't know, you're all about the kids. You're just always with them and it's like you're giving everything to them and I get your leftovers. Can I tell you something? The secret to a happy home is understanding a family begins when that man and woman join together. That's your family. Sometimes we get this backwards. We know the family happens when kids, and you start building your whole life around kids. Big mistake. I let my kids know we were a family before you got here, and we'll be a family after you leave. Me and her. We're a family. You can join if you want. But it's me and her. It's a priority. Now look, when a couple first falls into heat, they don't have to be told these things, do they? I mean, they're just so sick face in love. They don't have to be told to put on love or to prioritize. I was sitting with a couple one time, we were gonna do marriage counseling over a dinner. Again, I don't do counseling. And this couple, I didn't even know where we'd start. I thought, let's just order. And I heard them giggling about something. And I said, what are you giggling about? And he goes, oh, they'd been over in Mexico. And he goes, you know, she left my wallet in Mexico. And he was giggling. I said, okay, let's start right here. I said, 6 months from now, after you're married, after the sweet month is over, you're not going to be laughing anymore. You're going to be saying, you did what? You left my wallet in Mexico. Hello? Yeah. That's the truth. That's the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Amen. You don't have to tell people when they're first in love to say, oh, you're gonna have to prioritize, but you gotta remind some of us. No. You make wise decisions, feelings follow. You gotta prioritize. You gotta re-up. You can't just walk in the door with your leftovers all the time. Some of you, the most important time of the day is that moment you leave work till you get home. Because when you walk in that door, friend, they don't need your leftovers. They need the best you. That will make a marriage great. I just had an idea for a slogan. Maybe I'll get red hats that say, make marriages great again. I don't know. Or not. I don't know. Just a thought. It's catchy. It's been a long weekend. All right? It's been a long week. Galatians 6. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time of harvest, if we, say it with me, do not give up. You got to make a priority of this. You can't just go and just say, well, I'm just seeing how it's good. No. I think a great picture of this, in the Old Testament, you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. They had tragedy hit their home. Ruth, this young lady, her husband died. Naomi, her husband died. And now this daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law are the only ones left. The mother-in-law says, I got to go back to my homeland. And Ruth has a decision to make. She decides, I am going with you, Naomi. I married into this family. She made a decision. And she just said, wherever you go, that's where I'm going. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. But what I love about the story is she made this vow and this decision to go with Naomi. And as she did, what happened? Blessings followed. She made the decision before the blessings were there. But it was the right decision. God honored her as she honored Naomi. And from that, so many great things happened. The favor of God landed on their lives, on their homes, because she decided, wherever you go, I'm going. And sometimes in our home, that's exactly what has to happen again. No. I'm staying. We're not going, we're gonna work this out. Some of you need to hear that today. You've been flipping coins, you've been wondering. I get it, I understand. All hell's against you. Satan doesn't want your home to be happy. He doesn't want your home to thrive. He just wants it barely to survive. There's a big difference. Last point, number three, and it seems so basic, but for marriage to work, we're gonna have to just trust God. There's something here for us. Sometimes when you see a picture of a family, maybe somebody posts something, or I don't know, it's just some picture of a family, you think, well, they've had it easy. Everything must be easier for them. They don't know what we gotta go. No, can I tell you something? They got the same devil. They fight the same devil. They live in the same sorry, dark world, but some people put God first. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds it. The question that I started with, is it possible for marriages to be great? It's not probable if you do it the way the world does it. 50-50 chance, Christian, non-Christian, don't matter. But it's highly possible when you put the Lord first. Ahead of everything. Everything. I love in the Old Testament, Joshua. He came to a point in his life where with great passion and resolve, he just drove a stake in the ground and just said, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. And just decided, we're gonna serve the, it didn't say, as for me and my house, we're gonna be perfect. No. We're gonna trip, we're gonna stumble, we're gonna fall, we're gonna mess up, but we're gonna keep getting up and serving the Lord. It's all for Him, it's not for me. Now, I had this thought because we can only see our lives today. The limited perspective of just September 2019, and this is where we live. But if you believe the Bible, I've read it and I've chosen to believe it. I put my whole life and afterlife on its truth. And that it tells me that when I breathe my last in this world, the very next moment, I step into another world. And in that world, I can see my parents, grandparents, those that have gone before. The Bible, Hebrews says we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. I get to see them and thank them. And thank them for passing a baton to me. And I hope to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You did well. That's what I'm living for. Some of you, you weren't passed a baton of honor, of faithfulness, of godliness, but rather a baton of a lot of pain. Some of what was passed to you, you spent your whole life trying to forget and get over. Can I tell you though? The Bible makes it clear, eternity has no end. And there's gonna be a day. People are gonna come up to you in eternity. And they're gonna say, I'm sorry. You don't know me. I am your great, 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 great grandson. I bear your name. And now that I have the gift of eternity and the perspective of eternity, I can see what you did. You were the first in our family to drive a stake in the ground and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I'm here today because of what you did. It's not just about you. It's not just about us. And Satan wants to shrink our perspective and make a momentary decision that can wreck that legacy. And if you've made some bad choices, and we all have, listen, from this day forward, stake in the ground. From this day forward, would you stand together? This isn't a time to leave. This is a time to lean in. I'm gonna have two prayers. The first one, there's some of you, these relationships are hard because this relationship is non-existent. You gotta first have the ministry of reconciliation. You gotta first experience the Prince of Peace before you're able to experience peace in relationships. And I'd love to invite you today to settle this question first. Would you bow your heads? If you've never ever made peace with your God, He is a from this day forward kind of God. He's wild about you. He is for you, not against you. And no matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes you've made, He's got a better plan for your life than you could ever imagine. And I invite you to pray a simple prayer with me that just simply is a prayer of invitation for Him to come into your heart and make all things new. We're gonna pray together. But before I do, I just wanna ask, is that you? If it is, why not raise a hand right now where you're at and just say, Rick, would you remember me today in prayer? I'm praying this prayer. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. I got to get things right with my God. Yes, yes, yes. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray. In fact, as a church family, we're all going to pray because we want to pray together. Heavenly Father, come on, pray with boldness. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my many sins. Would you come into my heart and make all things new? I give myself to you. Lead me from this day forward. From this day forward, from this day forward, I walk with you, forgiven, cleansed, and whole in Jesus' name. I receive it. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed. enjoyed this message today, don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.